call the Banner Oversight Committee meeting of December, well, let me just do it this way, of 12-12-12 to order. Can we call the roll, please?
Morning, Commissioner. Chair Bill Dodd.
Here.
Vice Chair Tom Bates, not present. Commissioner Campos, not present. Commissioner Cortese, not present. Commissioner Federal Glover.
Here.
Thank you. Commissioner Kinsey, not present. Commissioner Wiener. Thank you. Commissioner Sartipi, not present. Commissioner Tissier? Present. Thank you. Commissioner Reinworth? Commissioner Reinworth is present. Thank you. We have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Maria. Okay, we have a... Maria, do you want to tell us?
Yes.
What you're going to tell us?
In accordance with state law, I am making the following announcement. Each member of the board here today will be entitled to receive $100 per meeting attended, up to a maximum of $500 per month per agency. This amount is provided as a result of convening a meeting for which each member is entitled to collect such amount. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have the consent items in front of us today.
I would move approval, Mr. Chair.
We got a motion by Commissioner Glover and a second by Commissioner Wiener. Any discussion? Any dissent? That motion passes without objection. Let's move to item number three. We have a fast-track contract. Beth, good morning.
Good morning, commissioners. This item is to provide information about the recommendation for the fast-track regional customer service center contract. We will be bringing this item back in January, and at that time we'll request the committee to forward to the authority for their approval the recommendation to award the contract to Xerox for the design, implementation, and operation of the Fast Track Service Center for a 5-year term in an amount not to exceed $117,520,000. And this will have options to extend the contract up to 10 years in annual increments. BATA entered into a contract in 2003 with Xerox to design and operate the regional's customer service center. The CSC supports electronic toll collection for the BATA bridges, the Golden Gate Bridge, the express lanes, and the San Francisco Airport fast-track parking. This contract was for a 5-year operating term and had optional extensions. We have executed all of the extensions, and the contract will expire in June of 2014. So in May of this year, we issued a request for proposal for the design, implementation, and operation of the CSC. The scope includes design, development, testing, data migration to a new CSC accounting and customer account management system, and an operating term for 5 years with the option to extend up to 10 years on an annual basis. The services under this RFP are similar to the current contract, and it would include processing the fast track and violation transactions, call answering, payment processing, mailing statements and correspondence, issuing violation notices, managing the website, and issuing toll tags. In response to this RFP, we received 4 proposals from Xerox, TransCore, who teamed with Cubic, Municipal Service Bureau, and Federal Signal Technologies, who teamed with Faneuil. After Federal Signal had submitted their bid, they were acquired by 3M, and 3M became the proposing entity. The proposals were evaluated by a panel of 5 members made up of BATA and Golden Gate Bridge staff, and we were also supported by technical advisors from BATA, MTC, Golden Gate staff, and consultants. And the proposals were evaluated on 4 criteria. Price, which had a 35-point value, approach to performance, including the technical approach, schedule, and work plan, which had 25 points, the team and key personnel experience and qualifications, which was 25 points, and past performance based on references, which was 10 points. Based on this, the initial proposal, the panel entered into discussions with a short list of 3 proposers, Xerox, 3M, and TransCore. The discussions were to talk to the proposers about their specific deficiencies and weaknesses and provide them an opportunity to eliminate these deficiencies in a best and final offer. And after the discussions, we did issue a request for best and final offer to all three proposers. Based on the final evaluation of the BAFOs, the scores are shown on page 3 of your memo. Xerox had the highest score of 88.6 points, 3M had a score of 86.6, and TransCor had a score of 71.6. Xerox had the highest score on price and technical approach factors, and their price was the lowest at $117.5 million. 3M's price was $8.8 million more at $126 million, and TransCor had a price of $159 million. The panel recommends that Xerox be awarded the contract as the proposer which is most advantageous to BATA. Xerox has demonstrated and proven their accounting and account management system, which is in operation at many customer service centers of similar size and scope to this project. They have a strong technical team, and they are also experienced with the data migration, and they have migrated several CSCs to their new system. They have a strong project management team, and they do have the lowest price. So again, today, we're just providing this information, but we're not asking for an action to be taken today. And we'll bring this item back to the January committee meeting and ask you to refer to the full authority to approve the award. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Pretty complete report. Don't see any lights on. So you just want this referred? There's no just
well,
the information.
Well, today it's just for information. We will bring it back again in January.
All right, great work. Thank you very much. Okay, we'll move to item number 4, which is a contract amendment for Fast Track.
Yes,
up again,
sir.
Beth.
This item is to approve a contract amendment with Jacobs Engineering to help with the implementation of the customer service center. They were awarded an on-call contract in January 2011, and in April we did execute a task order with them to assist with the RFP development and the procurement process. And as we move into the implementation, we're asking for a contract amendment with them to assist with oversight of the contract, the CSC development and implementation through the start of operations to ensure that the system is developed properly and is working as we roll it out to the public. So this contract amendment would be for $1,650,000, and it would include 2 full-time staff to assist with the oversight. And staff is recommending that the committee authorize the executive director to negotiate and enter into a contract amendment with Jacobs.
Commissioner Weiner.
Thank you. This actually, I guess, relates to, in a way, to both these contracts. It's not specific to the contracts. I mean, this process seemed very thorough. But it's more just generally about the customer service in general. Do we have metrics in terms of the adequacy of customer service? And actually, it relates not just to Fast Track, but also to Clipper. Do we sort of measure how customer service is responding, and do we have customer satisfaction surveys or ways of knowing whether people are getting what they need? Because I know sometimes when people have problems, whether with Fast Track or Clipper, it can sometimes fall into a black hole. It's hard to resolve, but that may be just a tiny percentage. So,
sure. Commissioner Weiner, Andrew Vermeer, Deputy Executive Director. We do have performance measures in both the Clipper contract as well as the Fast Track contract. The Fast Track contract and Clipper have similar measurements in a lot of areas. We can certainly present some of that information directly to the Commission, because I think it is pointing to the fact that, in general, the performance of the customer service centers are pretty good, pretty adequate. In this particular contract, we have performance indicators that actually have damages associated with them if they don't make them on a regular basis. Historically, they've done very well in both of the contracts with the metrics, so they're not, I don't think, designed to the point where you can catch the individual problem, and those are the ones that generally pop up as a complaint to you or to some other commissioners or the public newspaper or something like that. So I think the bottom line is we do have pretty reasonable performance measures in the contracts, and we can certainly present that information regularly to you.
Yeah, I think that would be helpful because we do tend to hear the horror stories, and you're always very helpful in resolving those horror stories. But sometimes it's good for the public to know what the overall performance level is of customer service, so it's not just the random horror story that pops up.
Correct.
Anybody else? You know, Andrew, I've got a question. Is this something that we intend to, work on a long-term basis? You know, one of the problems with us is we end up being jack of all trades and master of none, and so, certainly we can't be expected to be, on top of the technology and everything for Fast Track. But it just seems to me a consulting contract of $1.6 million. Okay, we get two employees with it. How long is this going to go on? Is the intention here? This is what we don't have with this. Is this supposed to build the backbone, for the system going forward, for technology, for the, for the next 5 years or 10 years? Or I really don't get what at the end of the day, how long this is supposed to work for, and then what we. If it's something that we're going to get a contract next year or 5 years, from now again.
It's actually a very good question, and we are trying to look at that overall. One of the things that we tried to do last year with the realignment of some of the operations functions is recognize the similarities in Fast Track and Clipper. They both have gizmos. They both work all the way through the customer service aspect of the work. They both collect fares of some form or another. So they're very similar. One of the things that we've done with the contract structure here is align it with the completion of the Clipper contract, which ends in 2019, because we do believe the next cycle we should have some opportunities to maybe create some different ways of doing the operations or the fare collection model. We are going to spend some time in the next couple of years taking a look at, or even sooner than that, next year, taking a look at whether or not there is other models that might work better. You know, the risk that we have is to grow as an organization. We can become larger with permanent staff and create some of that in-house knowledge, or we could continue to be supported by contractors. And we've kind of taken a hybrid approach. We're a little bit different in the Fast Track world in that we own the infrastructure and we actually manage it. So with the IT infrastructure for Fast Track, we've got in-house staff that keep that network alive and running at all the plazas. We didn't approach it that way with Clipper, and so we need to evaluate which is the best, because there are pros and cons with both of them. But we certainly can get back to you with that one also, I think in a more strategic look about how the fare collection work will really take place into the future. It's a hard nut because technology does change fast.
Right.
And you do get wedded to certain contractors, which is obviously a problem if you don't continue to build the in-house knowledge. So we are trying to find the right balance for that.
Thank you. Commissioner Campos?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I apologize if I missed this in the discussion in the presentation, but that was the question that I had along the lines of what the Chair was asking. Was there consideration given to simply bringing this knowledge in-house? Since we own the system, we have to operate it. Spending $1.6 million on a contractor, why not have an in-house set of folks doing that? I wonder if you could speak to that.
Sure. I think just briefly, the benefit of using a consultant contract is you don't build permanent staff. And so we do have the opportunity, at least in this contract, to turn it on and turn it off as we see fit, which is a little bit easier than bringing in a permanent employee. So I think it does give us some flexibility, it does give us some expertise, and it does sort of deal with the short-term crossover from the existing contract to the new contract and the technology changes that happen from there. But I do think it's a legitimate question that we need to and are evaluating as to whether or not it's the best way to go forward.
And do you have an expectation of whether or not in 2 years this contract would come back to us and do an increase of this amount?
I would hope not. I've charged our staff with trying to make sure that doesn't happen, but I think we need to find out how difficult the transition is going to be, and then if we do need to extend it, we would come in and have to articulate why. Our anticipation is that between our staff and this ask, we should be in pretty good shape to make the transition.
And the reason I raise that question is that because if you do have the possibility of having to come back and increase something, then maybe that points to the need to have a more permanent person, in-house person doing that work.
We'd actually like to bring forward to you sooner than this contract would run out, I think, a more strategic look on how we should be approaching this fair collection as an organization, because I think it's a very relevant question.
Okay, we have a contract before us that needs approval. I had no speaker cards, just for the record. There's no speaker cards on this issue.
Move approval.
Motion by Glover and second by Tissier. Any further discussion? Any dissent? That motion passes without objection. Thank you. Okay, we have our November 2012 progress report and update for the toll bridge seismic retrofit program. Peter.
Good morning, Commissioners. Peter Lee with Bata staff. I'll just be very brief and just run you through what current activities are going on the bridge. So we've completed load transfer last month, as you're aware. They've started removal of some of the false work underneath the bridge because we've lifted off. And this is a great picture that if you were to look really closely underneath the bridge deck, we currently are fully supported by the tower now and the main cable. And there is a complete gap in that area, and the contractor will continue to remove all this brown steel underneath the bridge as they work towards our opening date. We're continuing to paint the main cable. This is actually a zinc operation where we're packing the main cable with zinc as a corrosion-resistant material. This will then get wrapped and painted. We're continuing installation of the bike path on areas that we couldn't access earlier when we were doing cable work. So this is one of the struts that will support the bike path on the south side of the bridge. We're also installing lights. So a lot of our mechanical and electrical equipment is now on basically a critical path for our Labor Day 2013 opening. So these are lights that will go up will attach to the cable brackets here and shine down as part of our lighting plan. And we're also doing some major civil work still at the hinges. This is the connection between the self-anchored suspension bridge and the Yerba Buena Island transition ramps into the tunnel. So this is our hinge pipe beam. This will allow the bridge to move in a longitudinal direction but keep it from moving side to side. So we have two of the beams that are currently already installed, but this is basically a sleeve that will go around it that will be cast into the concrete as we complete the hinge. This is another picture from below. So this is the westbound direction, which is a little further along than the eastbound direction. So we're all on target for the Labor Day 2013 opening. Moving on to some of the other projects we have. Commissioner Bates asked last month, but he's not here today. But there is a nonprofit currently in the process of installing the bay light installation on the west spans of the Bay Bridge. So they have been doing some nighttime lane closures if you've driven to the city at night on the upper deck, and they have been in the process of installing these light installation on the cabling here. And you can see the lights are angled away from the roadway, and they're attached to one of the four sets of cables as they come down to suspender cables. So that's work that's ongoing. So one last item to note, Labor Day 2013 is rapidly approaching. The the Tollbridge Program Oversight Committee is working and planning the opening event and has entered into agreements with a nonprofit, the Bay Area Alliance, under which we'll solicit private sponsorship for the event. So just to make you aware that that is ongoing. And some of these sponsorship partnerships may be announced sometime in December, so we wanted to make you aware. And staff hopes to bring back a detailed presentation on the opening ceremony or celebration to the BATA Oversight Committee in the near future. So staff's available to answer any other questions you may have.
Any questions?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Yeah, I almost feel like this is kind of a stupid question, but how is the tower performing?
The tower is performing fine. Okay.
How can I breathe a sigh of relief.
We were up there 2 days ago with Brian and some of our rating agencies, or one of our rating agencies, and it was still there. No, but
There had to be a certain bend in the tower for when it lifted, it would bend back the other way. I mean, did it true back to the way you thought it would?
It came back. Well, if you recall, we did pull the main tower back about 24 inches in anticipation of the longer front span of the bridge pulling the tower forward, and that actually came back plumb. So okay. We were released that, and all those that pullback has been released, and it's basically in its final position now.
And I appreciate you telling me that, because every time I go by the tower, I try to look and see if it's straight, and I really need to quit. I really need to quit looking. Is the moral of the story?
Mr. Chair, I'm delighted that Brian said they're checking
it. Yes.
I feel better now.
Me too. Okay. Thank you, Peter. There are no other questions for Peter. So is there, I have no speaker card, so I assume there's no public comment. Anybody wishing to address the BATA Oversight Committee? Seeing none, we'll adjourn this meeting to the next meeting, which will be January 9th, 2013 at 9:30.